This is Digital Story Podcast number 609, November 14th, 2017. Today's theme is Venturing Back into the Unfriendly Skies. I'm Derek Story. By the time you hear this podcast, I'll either be in Washington, D.C., covering the WildSpeak conference, or stranded somewhere in between. It's really weird these days to get on a plane without knowing when you will actually reach your intended destination. But that is the reality of air travel in these United States. And what I'm doing to prepare for this journey is the topic of today's TDS podcast. So you may recall that I touched on this subject during the summer because TSA had announced that they were changing how inspection was going to happen going through security. Well, essentially for photographers, but anyone who carries a lot of electronic gear, in that we would have to pull all the electronic stuff out of our bags as we went through TSA. And I just thought, man, you know, talk about making an unpleasant situation even more so. You know, this is going to do it. So as I did a little research, I discovered that if you're flying with TSA pre, then you won't have to take all that stuff out, that you can go through security with all the stuff in your bags. And I thought, okay, I'm getting TSA pre, right? And so that's what I did. So I talked a little bit about the process and applying for it and then going for my interview and, you know, all that kind of stuff to, you know, secure what is known as the KTN, the known traveler number. And, you know, it's funny, I remember that very hot afternoon when I found my way to the TSA trailer parked at the Sonoma County Airport for my interview. I had a 3 o'clock appointment to, you know, get my KTN. And this would give me access to TSA pre for the next 2 years. The big moment came. So here I was in this trailer, and I don't fit that well in these kind of trailers anyway. And they had it set up like a little office, and there was someone that, you know, screened you when you first came in. Do you have an appointment? All that stuff. And then there was the actual officer, the TSA officer, who handled the interview. And the big moment was when I was in this room with just the officer behind a closed door, and she scanned my passport. And, you know, we were waiting together for the results. And after a few minutes, she goes, "You're clean." And I'm going, "Great." And she's going, "We can finish off your application now." And it's funny, I was wondering at the time, what happened or what would have happened if I didn't come back clean? I mean, would like someone come with handcuffs and carry me away? Would I be arrested on the spot? I don't know the answer to that question, but, you know, coming back clean originally was, you know, just so I could get my known traveler number. But then I was thinking about, boy, you know, this could really go bad. Anyway, fact of the matter is that I came back okay. And about a week later, I received my known traveler number, and I've had it now. And, you know, I keep it with all my other airline information. And, you know, once you have it, one of the things you have to do is that, you know, if you have a profile, if you fly with airlines, certain airlines all the time, you know, you want to put it in your profile. If you're flying with someone else, you want to make sure when you make the reservation that, you know, you put your number in the box. You've got to do it ahead of time so that, you know, they have time to check it. And then when it's time to issue your boarding passes, then, you know, they'll have TSA pre on them. You can't just like get to the airport and go, "Hey, I have a KTN. Can you give me TSA pre?" When you make the reservation, you've got to put that information in there. So I've only had to fly once since I got it. I think I got it in September. And that was to retrieve my son, Zach, from New York right after the Santa Rosa firestorm. So that was a personal trip. It was just an overnighter. I wasn't taking any gear. Flying wise, it was an easy trip in the sense that I wasn't schlepping a bunch of stuff. We still had some delays, though, of course. Of course we did, right? But now I have a couple business trips coming up, and I have to fly with all of my gear. I'm going as a photographer. I'm working on publishing projects while I'm gone, the whole deal. And so this is going to be the first real test. I have a trip coming up right now Hopefully I'm in Washington, D.C. by the time you hear this. I'm recording this on the Saturday before I fly out. In December, I have another trip, another business trip. So it's sort of like boom, boom, like that. So I was thinking, okay, I am going to plan for the worst and hope for the best. Now, I'm hoping that TSA Pre will make it easy for me to get through security, but that's only part of the equation. I still have to deal with the airlines themselves. And unfortunately, since I'm traveling on my own dime for this business trip, I had to use miles, and that meant that I have a connection in Dallas-Fort Worth. Flying out of San Francisco to Dallas-Fort Worth, have to make a connection then to get to Washington, D.C. And of course, as we all know who fly, whenever you have a connection, you are vulnerable to all sorts of things. All sorts of, and none of them are good. None of them are good. And I thought, okay, this will be a good time to talk about how I'm preparing for this trip so that I can remain productive and efficient and sane, regardless of whatever happens to me via the airlines. So I got five things for you. I'm going to go through them right now. All right. And hopefully some of these tips will be interesting to you. So the first one, kind of obvious, pack light and keep it with me. So I have a pilot's roller bag that fits easily into any overhead bin, and that's what I'm taking. Now, in all honesty, for this trip to DC, it's going to be a little cool there, possibly some rain, all that kind of stuff. I would have liked to be able to bring a bigger bag and, you know, have a little bit more clothing and so forth. The problem is when you're tall like me is that, you know, all your clothes are really big. Shoes are really big. Everything's really big. So it really forces me to pack much more compact than I want to. But the fact of the matter is, because I have this connection at Dallas-Fort Worth and, you know, because of, you know, the track record going from east to west and west to east and all that, I just feel like it's better for me to have my bag with me. So that's a trade-off. I'm gonna pack light. I'm gonna have everything either in my roller or in my Think Tank Retrospective 7, which is the other bag I'm taking. I'm only taking two bags, either the roller or the Retrospective 7. That's it, and they will stay with me at all times. And I cannot tell you how many times when I've had a flight canceled, a connection canceled, or whatever, and I've had to dash from one terminal to another with my bags to catch another flight that was about ready to leave. They said I could get on if I wanted to get home. And having all your stuff with you in those situations saves you a trip back to the airport once you're home to get your stuff because it arrived on a different plane or not at all, which is always unfortunately a possibility. And by traveling light, you know, you can make that dash and hopefully, you know, catch that other flight if you need to. Second thing, I use packing cubes. And this is one of the ways that I get all that stuff, all those big clothes, into that small bag. Now, I don't know if you know the joy that is packing cubes, but if you don't, I'm going to turn you on to them right now. And they are essentially these square mesh bags that have zippers on them. They fit nicely inside the suitcase, and they come in different sizes, and you usually get a kit. I have a link to a kit right now that has four packing cubes, a laundry bag, and some other stuff for like $20. And what happens is that, you know, you put your clothes, whether it's your shirts or your socks or your underwear, whatever, you put them in these packing cubes, and, you know, you fold your stuff up, put them in there, and then you kind of press down on the packing cube. It breathes. And then you zip it up. And what happens is it saves space. It saves actually a lot of space, and it keeps your stuff organized. And I just think packing cubes for clothes is such a natural for photographers because we're already weird about packing anyway. Because, you know, we've had all these years with our camera bags where everything has to go back to exactly the same spot so we know where it is next time we need it, you know, all that kind of stuff. And packing cubes just fit perfectly with that mentality. By using packing cubes, I'm able to get a lot of clothing into the suitcase, into the small suitcase, so I can go carry on. Plus, on top of everything else, it's so neat and tidy. You open up the suitcase, and you're just going, oh my, that is a beautiful thing. So if you don't use packing cubes or if you haven't been made aware of them, check out the link in the show notes and take a look at them. I pretty much will guarantee you that if you try them, you will never go back to a pre-packing cube life. And what's even funnier is that when you travel with other people and they open up their suitcase, especially about second or third day into the trip, and they open up the suitcase and you just see this disheveled mess in there, and then yours is all neat and tidy in these packing cubes, you are going to feel so good about yourself. All right. So that's number two, packing cubes. Big deal on these kind of trips where you have to travel light. Third thing, portable power. Airports, many airports anyway, are better than they used to be for providing power outlets and waiting areas. That is, until you really need one. And I swear, that even happened to me on this trip to New York and back. I'm in JFK Airport, and there are no power outlets anywhere. And I'm going, I'm in JFK Airport. What the heck? So who knows? I might have been just in the wrong terminal for power outlets or whatever. But it seems like when I don't need them, I see all these little charging stations everywhere that are so cute with the little metal stools and all that stuff. And then the minute I need one, I cannot find one. And so then maybe you find yourself over on the linoleum floor over in the corner with, you know, one outlet that they use for the vacuum cleaners. And, you know, and maybe you're having to fight over it with somebody else who's just as desperate as you are. So at any rate, I don't count on anything. And the same goes on the planes themselves. When you really don't need power, then you've got the power outlet right there. The minute you need it and you're on a flight that doesn't provide it. I just don't leave anything up to chance. I started carrying a portable power unit. Well, actually, I got serious about it during all those evacuations during the firestorm, because all I had was, you know, my bag with me. Everything else was left behind. And fortunately, I had that portable power brick in there. It has two USB outlets, and it has a little built-in flashlight. It's really nice. I'll put the link to it in the show notes. I can charge my iPhone like four or five times with it, and the iPad a couple times with it. And anything else that I need, I even use it for the drone, for the Spark when I'm out in the field. I can recharge the batteries for the Spark while I'm out on location. So this thing is just really super handy. And what happens is then when I'm traveling and I'm stuck in a waiting area without power outlets, or I'm stuck on a flight that doesn't give them to me, I'm okay. I still have access to my iPad. I can recharge my phone. I can recharge other stuff that I may need to, including I got a USB charger adapter for my camera batteries, for the batteries that I use in the Olympus Pen F and in the OMD EM5 Mark II. And that allows me to recharge those batteries using USB. And I tell you, it's cool. It's really handy. And I keep that in my bag too. Hopefully, you know, it never gets to that point where I'm even out of camera batteries, but you just don't know. These things are super easy to pack. They don't take up much space. And having portable power with you suddenly makes everything easier, because wherever you're forced to sit, wherever you're forced to wait, whatever plane you're forced to fly on, you can still remain functional. Number four, prepare work for the road. So I think one of the hugest, yeah, I said that word, frustrations of being delayed or stranded is the amount of time that's wasted. And for folks like me, and probably you too, that are very busy, and if I don't work, I don't get paid kind of situation, then just wasting a whole day or 2 days or however long, you know, this mess goes on is definitely salt in the wound, because in addition to you're feeling terrible, you're tired and all that stuff, you're getting behind on your work. So what I do is I prepare work for the road. And I'll give you an example. This podcast is a perfect example. So what I'm doing on Saturday is that I'm recording it here in the studio before I leave. And then while I'm in the air on Monday, which is the day that I normally record, while I'm in the air on Monday, I will edit this podcast, because that's very easy to do in the air. I'll edit the podcast and do the post-production on it. And then once I land, I'll have a nice little MP3 that I can upload. and go ahead and finish things off. And I can even do that in an airport if I have to, and then publish it. I don't want to record this in an airport unless I absolutely have to, but editing it is great. So I know I can edit, so I save that for on the road. Then I save other projects too. Writing projects are great on the road. Maybe not the great American novel, but you know, basic kind of everyday writing that we have to do. Working on photos, sorting images, really great on the road. I love sorting. So if you've got 500 shots or whatever, and you have other things that you need to do while you're on the ground, save the sort for those 500 shots till you're on the plane, and then do it on the plane. It's a great way to pass the time. It's very productive, and you can do that. That's one of the things that you can do while flying or in a waiting room. So I prepare a bunch of projects that work great in these situations. And then before I leave, because it's always a mad rush before I leave, then I'm working on the stuff that I can't do in an airport or I can't do on a plane, get that stuff done, like recording this podcast. And just try to be very efficient about it. So, you know, divide up your work so that you're efficient before you leave, and then you can be efficient while you're gone. It helps so much. And finally, number five, I bring food. And, you know, this, I just laugh at myself about this. Because you would think that in these modern days of air travel, that at least we would have food and water available. But it's crazy how many times I haven't. You know, you're in an airport at, you know, suddenly you find yourself in an airport at 1 a.m, some airport you don't even know, right? You didn't plan on being there. And everything closed up at 11. And there's not even vending machines. I mean, there's like nothing. And there you are until your flight flies out at whatever, 6:30 the next morning. And you've got to hang in there probably till about 5:30 or so before any services start to open up. And same thing on the plane. A lot of times your original reservation, you'll have food and all that kind of stuff as part of it. But if you get kicked to another plane, you get kicked in the back on a cheap plane or something, you know, a lot of times the economy airlines, they plan it so they don't have to feed you or even offer anything. And so suddenly, unless you're going to survive off a little packet of whatever they give you these days, not even nuts anymore, unless you are planning on surviving off that, you better have some food with you or you're going to get grumpy and it's going to make you feel even worse. And you're not going to be as nice to the people who are trying to help you. And you want to be nice to them, because if you want them to be nice to you and help you get home or get to your destination, you have to be nice to them. Having food with you really helps. And the thing about it is that even though I tease myself about packing food, and you know, it does take up some space and all that, even if I don't need it during the journey, then when I get to my room, guess what? I have some food. And that's kind of great too. So if you're working late at night and suddenly you don't feel like having to put all your clothes on and, you know, wander out into the world just to get a bite to eat, you can eat some of the food that you have with you. Bringing food is just very smart, very smart. And I'm almost always really happy that I pack some healthy food with me so that I can survive the journey and stay happy and smiling so that these people will get me to where I want to go. Those are my five tips. I will let you know. Keep a good thought for me, will you, please? I'll let you know how it turns out. When I do my wrap-up of Wild Speak, I'll do a segment where I talk about the journey. We can close this, and we'll find out of how many of these five things really paid off. Now, I'm sure there are others, and I'm sure that you have others. And well, when I post a story on Facebook, if you have other great tips, please add them, because this is something that helps us all. And, you know, the more information that we can share around this so that we all can get where we need to go, the better off we'll all be, more productive and more happy. I'm going to talk a little bit more about video blocks, one-stop downloading for video, audio, and images for your projects. I introduced video blocks last week. I hope you heard the show. But it's a terrific site. They contacted me and said that we think that you and your audience would be interested in what we have here. And I said, you know, I'll take a look. And I did, and they were right. I really like it. So what I want to do this week is talk a little bit about the process that I used when I needed a clip. I think that's where this comes in really handy. In the middle of a project, and you go, you know, I need a clip for that closing credit, or I need a clip for a segue here, or I need something. And I don't have it. And I want to finish this project, and I want to go eat dinner, and, you know, wham, 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 right? So here's what I did. First of all, I went to my page, you know, so I went to the homepage there, and they're really good. So after you've logged in, they put a big search box right there on the front of the page where you're hanging out, sort of like your homepage there. And in that search box, I entered aerial landscape, because that's what I was looking for. I needed a little aerial landscape footage for a drone project I was working on. And so once I entered aerial landscape in the search box, then there's a pop-up menu to the right of it, and you can choose from all media, footage, backgrounds, or After Effects. So what I wanted was footage. So I chose footage from the pop-up menu, and then you click OK. And then it takes you to another page, and then all these thumbnails start loading. And the thumbnails are of, you know, the different video snippets that they have to offer you. And there are dozens and dozens of them. And these are all snippets that I can just download because I've just paid the one price for the year, the $149 of the whole year. So I can grab anything that I want. I'm just kind of surfing through these things. Now, they're also really good at keywording. And I think I'm going to talk about keywording in more detail in another installment. If you didn't feel like browsing under a general phrase and you wanted to really zoom in onto something precise, you can use keywords for that. Just like any good stock agency, they've done a good job with keywording. I'm sure they have a whole psychology to that. And in fact, that'd be kind of a neat thing for me to talk to them about and say, you know, how did you guys come up with your keywording system? So I'm thinking out loud right now, but I may contact them on that. That might be an interesting interview. So at any rate, you know, I'm scrolling through these. There's just all sorts of beautiful stuff, but I'm staying focused because I have a need. And I found something that was just perfect. It was actually called Silhouette of Trees at Sunset. And it just really worked well with the vibe of the footage that I wanted to use it with. So it was a 13-second video of full HD, 1920 by 1080, 29.97 frames per second. And then I had a choice. I could download a .mov file that was 243 megabytes or an MP4 file that was only 20 megabytes. I almost always go for the .mov file because, you know, that's, I'm working at that higher quality level or less compression, however you want to view it. And so the .mov file works a little bit better for me. And so I went ahead and grabbed it. And then a few seconds later, there it was on my hard disk. Now, I could send it if I wanted to. I could send it to Dropbox if I'm working on a shared project. But I went ahead and downloaded it to my hard drive, and then I had it. And then I put it right in, you know, Final Cut 10 and start using it. And off to the races I go. It's really that easy to use. So, you know, the nice thing about this is that you have this in your back pocket. So if you're in the middle of a project and you have a gap that you need to fill, you can just hop over to the site, get what you want, download it, put it in either, if it's a video, put it in either After Effects or Final Cut 10, whatever you're using. Or if it's a background, you know, put it in the photo application that you're using. Finish off your job and get back to work. And because it's royalty free and all of the rights and stuff have been taken care of already, you don't need to worry about any of that. Just use it and go. And I think that having that and having it all taken care of ahead of time, just by paying the $149 a year, then that gives you tremendous efficiency while you're working on stuff. This is a terrific site, and it's just probably the hardest part is not getting distracted when you're looking for something by all the other cool stuff. But you know, that's a good problem, right? So we have a tile on all the pages of the digital story that you can click on that'll take you over to our landing page there. Or if you have a good memory, you can just go to Video Blocks, all one word, VideoBlocks, blocks, videoblocks.com/digital story. No the, just /digital story. And that'll take you to our landing page there where you can get the special offer. Will I be testing the new Olympus 45mm and 17mm f1.2 Pro lenses? Well, the short answer to this is yes, I will. And I am very happy about that. So I wanted to give you a heads up, because if you're thinking about either of these lenses or both of these lenses, and you're wondering what I think about them, I'm going to be able to tell you very soon. So I'm going to get my hands on both of those optics on December 6th. So that's not too far away. And I'll actually be able to publish my review of them by Friday, December 8th. That's really about the time that I think the 45 millimeter will be available. I don't think the 17 millimeter will be available until January. So that's still early in the curve. And you know, what you can do is, if you want to get in line for the 45, is you can go ahead and pre-order it. And then after I do the review, if you decide you want it, then you got in the queue early and you're in great shape. If you decide that you heard something that I said that, you know, kind of makes you shy away a bit from it, then you can just cancel your pre-order and no harm done. So at any rate, though, I'll be able to tell you what I think on December 8th. And so I'm really looking forward to shooting with those. I'm actually going on a trip where I'll be using them, and I'm excited about it. I remember when I first got to shoot with the 25 millimeter f1.2 in Iceland, and I was just going, really? I just can have it with me all the time? It was a lot of fun. So now I get two lenses. So at any rate, the bad news is, of course, with this, I have to give them back right after I write the review, because they're in short demand and, well, quite frankly, they're expensive. Too expensive just to let me walk off with them in my suitcase anyway. Coming up December 8th, stay tuned. I'm looking forward to shooting with them, and I'll try to provide all the information that you guys and gals need to make a solid buying decision. New benefit for TDS Inner Circle members. I brought this up last week for the first time. I'm really excited about it. So starting in December, which isn't that far away. Boy, a lot of stuff's happening in December, isn't it? I have a great new benefit for our Inner Circle members. Who's Inner Circle members, you may be asking? Those are people that are supporting $5 a month or more via Patreon. And we have a Patreon tile on all the pages of Digital Story. So if you just go there and you pledge support for $5 a month, you are a member of the Inner Circle. There's all sorts of benefits, but there's a new one coming up, which is our Nimble Software Series. Two training videos a month for our Inner Circle members. The videos will be, in the beginning anyway, will be on software titles, Capture One Pro, Luminar, Photos, and Lightroom. And I'm going to do it so that the two videos will be on different titles. So a good chance that there's going to be something that you like. Videos are going to run between 10 minutes and 30 minutes, depending on what the topic is. And you'll be able to download them. You'll be able to watch them as many times as you want. And I'm calling them part of the Nimble Software Series. And they'll only be available in 2018 to members of our Inner Circle. Sign up. We got some great signups last week. Those of you that just joined last week, welcome aboard. I'm so happy to have you join us. Onward and upward. Alrighty. And finally, I just want to mention, well, two things, actually, before I sign off here and get on the plane. First, we got to thank our friends over at Red River Paper for supporting this show and for providing us with, you know, the best printing paper in the business at an affordable price, and for supporting our community and supporting the printing community. Oh, my gosh. They just do such a nice job with all of that. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story, and you can click on it. It takes you to our landing page there. And then also, don't forget about their Facebook page, you know, where there's ongoing specials and banter, and people are posting testimonies and all that kind of stuff. And that's at facebook.com/redriverpaper. We're really happy to have them on board. And then finally, I want to mention that, you know, we have the B&H and Amazon tiles on all the pages of the Digital Story. Start doing a little Christmas shopping or whatever, holiday shopping, I should say. If you would click on those tiles first and then get what you're going to get, that also helps support the site, and I really appreciate it. Alrighty, so here we go. Off to Washington, D.C. Wildspeak, some great conservation photographers. I'm really looking forward to reporting on this. Next week's show should be fun. We're going to talk about the journey and the conference and whatever else is good going on, come back and join me. Until then, have a great week. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.